You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. Two new laws taking effect in this new year in California extend services for people who are transgender or non-binary. One law adds an option beyond male or female on state-issued IDs. The other law involves gender-affirming health care for kids who are in the foster care system. In the studio with me is Pixie Pearl from the Sacramento LGBT Community Center. Pixie works on these issues and works with young LGBT people who are experiencing homelessness. Hello. Happy New Year.
Good morning.
Glad to have you here. So I think we should go through each of these changes in some detail. Let's start with the state-issued ID change. This was SB Senate Bill 179.
Yes, absolutely. So this was actually the Gender Recognition Act that passed in 2017, and it actually had a couple of stages that happened. So on January 1st of 2018, so this past year, folks were allowed to amend their birth certificate, so place male, female, or X for non-binary on their birth certificate. And it could also, folks that wanted their babies that were born at that time were also allowed to place that on their new birth certificate. Then in September 1st, they allowed the gender-ordered court change that allows anything, documents to be changed or to be able to identify that way as well. And then now, starting yesterday, you are allowed to change your driver's license to have male, female, or X for non-binary.
Is this changing the process as well as the options then?
It is. So it's actually, you do not no longer need a doctor's approval to justify you being able to change your documents.
But do you need to present that birth certificate or some other form of ID in any other way that it somehow affects making the choice?
Not for the driver's license,
okay.
No, and neither for the birth certificate either.
I've seen an estimate of perhaps 55,000 people in California this could affect. What's your view?
So I actually identify as genderqueer, and I actually have a couple of my friends that were actually going to go together and do this. I actually think that while there might be some opinions that go elsewhere that this might change too much, that I think it allows some affirmation of like who you are and that I'm beyond like this. These two do not represent me, and that at least on a document or my driver's license that I'm going to see every day or I have to show someone, this is going to represent me, and that I don't need a doctor to say to justify who I am or, you know, who other folks are, and that this one thing is going to change a lot.
Is there an aspect involved here in that you can get a driver's license at age 16 and there are some healthcare issues that don't kick in until age 18 in the state of California for gender-related healthcare?
I mean, I think it's one way to look at it in the sense of at accessing medical health care. But I think that just in the social aspect or legal aspect, I think this is really needed because there's studies that show that gender identity is formed by age 4. So I know that, you know, there isn't necessarily identity documents at that time, but I think being able to access this and have this as the first step, because we know that mental health or trauma happens at younger ages. And I think that it shouldn't have anything to do with being able to access your identity documents.
I think you've addressed in somewhat of a personal issue what mm-hmm. this means in telling the story of you and your friends. Can you speak more to the bigger impact, not only for people in California, but in terms of the rest of the country in the state taking this step?
Yeah, absolutely. I know that we're, you know, the second state to do so. You know, Oregon was first. I think that it's showing that we're moving beyond the binary, or at least acknowledging it. I think there are things to think about, and the fact of this is just two states that are doing it, and we're talking about California doing it now, but that it only applies to to California. So birth certificates, if you were born here, the driver's license here, but you can't, you know, passports are still only going to say male or female. And not everybody technically around the world is going to have training. So I think that it opens up room for discussion, for training, for movement forward that hopefully other states will follow or that we can just have, you know, a federal approach to this.
Not only training, but questions, conversation, maybe even judgment, Pixie, because say you're from California and down on the bottom of your driver's license, where it says gender or sex might be the way the question is asked, there's an X. You go to another state, for example, to rent a car, and someone says, what's this X down here? And thus begins a conversation.
Right, absolutely. I mean, I think that that conversation can already be had or be instigated by presentation, right? By gender presentation through, you know, through representing your identity. And so I think, you know, safety is always has been a conversation and concern that can come up, right? Because the conversation might not always be positive.
Right.
But I think that I don't want fear to hold that back. But I'm willing to have those discussions because for me, the affirmation allows me to move throughout the world in a more safe way. And so I'm hoping that that offers it to others as well.
You are a professional working with so many different levels of homelessness, needs, resources, age groups. When I just asked you about perceptions outside the state, I'm going to share for the benefit of the audience that isn't seeing, you almost got teary-eyed. There was some big cloud that passed over you. Will you tell me what else that meant when I raised that scenario?
Absolutely. So I'm actually originally from Texas, and I'm the house manager of our transitional living program. So we've got youth 18 to 24 that were experiencing homelessness for some reason and needed housing, needed, you know, more support. And I just think about if we have violence and discrimination coming from families and youth just seeking affirmation of who they are, and that's just from families, what's coming from government, what's coming from other states and people, and just knowing that, you know, I'm only able to create safety for these youth in small ways, that I think recognition and acknowledgement of who they are is the first step, and I hope that that continues to happen.
Because you're using that word safety, let me reflect on October or so of this past year when there was a signal from the Trump administration that maybe transgender would no longer be a definition, or maybe some of the movement that's happened on these issues could be rolled back. And there was a lot of discussion at that time about how much in fear people in the expanded LGBT and beyond community are living. Where is that fear level as we go into a new year? And in California, we're moving into a new administration under a new governor, Gavin Newsom.
Right. I think that the fear is still there. I think that folks have, you know, chosen to, you know, kind of jump on that front of like, we're going to fight, we're going to advocate, we're going to move to continue. And there's others, I think, that have, you know, rescinded, kind of, you know, taking shelter as they can. And I'm concerned, you know, I think, you know, trans women, trans men, but specifically trans women of color and trans girls of color, you know, are seeing the most violence, you know, the murders and, you know, also we see suicides and sorry for that heavy content has increased and there are higher rates in the trans and gender nonconforming community as well as the larger LGBT community. And I think that that's still prevalent and it still needs to be addressed. So I think it's still there.
You're listening to Pixie Pearl from the Sacramento LGBT Community Center. She, they are the TLP house manager. I just corrected myself here. So I'm going to say that beginning in this conversation, I could have asked you what pronoun do you prefer? That would have been appropriate.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
So let me handle that the proper way now. What pronoun do you prefer?
So I use they, them, their pronouns.
Okay. So I stand corrected on that. I do want to talk about the other law that we mentioned, which is AB 2119, and this applies to health care for children and teenagers in the foster care system. Will you explain the change that's happening?
Absolutely. So now there's a direct access for gender-affirming health and behavioral health care for foster youth in the system. And so basically it's saying that if requested or identified through the foster youth, they now can get care that respects their gender identity. So that can look like hormones, that can look like a therapist that is LGBT affirming, also anything that will help them align with their gender identity, address, you know, gender dysphoria symptoms, and then it also includes gender identity within the Foster Youth Bill of Rights.
And those changes are supposed to take effect immediately, but there again, there's a learning curve throughout the healthcare system that could take even years.
Right. Absolutely. Actually, the Department of Social Services has until January of 2020 to actually put that into their regulations.
Pixie, I feel like I'm going to move through yet another year of stumbling at times through learning and understanding how to have the right kind of conversations, how to open the doors for some understanding and learning. Where do you think the bigger community, and maybe California's ahead of the country in a lot of ways, but where do you think we collectively are in understanding and making changes in the issues that most concern your life and the clientele you work with?
I mean, I think we're headed in the right direction. I think we still have a lot of room to go. And there's that piece of cultural humility, you know, kind of like when you're introducing me and you're saying you said the wrong pronoun and you immediately corrected yourself. And then we kind of started over that. I think that's all that, you know, the community is asking is, you know, there is no expectation that everybody knows everything, but it's like come with it with some humble, like, humility and know that you're not going to know everything and be willing to learn more. And I hope and I see that with this legislation passing that we're moving in that direction. But my concern is always implementation. We can have as many bills, but if we have no oversight in looking, are these bills being implemented? Is this legislation actually happening? I think that that's where it can get lost in making sure that nobody falls through those cracks.
With a new governor coming in, what issues do you expect to get more attention or different attention?
I'm hoping that mental health is being addressed and all of that intersectionality that comes with that, right? Whether, you know, race and trauma and foster youth, right? So I'm just hoping that mental health and also like homelessness gets addressed.
The new governor is a Democrat. And the Senate will be led by Democrats. There's a majority in the Assembly, too. So there will be issues that get traction, perhaps in this era, that might not have otherwise. It also might set up more conflict with the federal government. How politically involved are you able to be as an organization? How big a voice do you have in California lawmaking?
You know, I think it's kind of a middle ground. You know, we can't directly support folks that are running, but I know that we can put in letters of support or encouragement to lawmakers and ask, you know, for their support in passing. You know, I know that we had we put in a letter for the SB 179 and also the 2119 and hoping that there is support. But I know that there isn't much beyond that we're able to do other than the direct service and access in that way.
Well, let's leave with a couple action points then. If someone is hearing this conversation and wants to make the change on the driver's license, how do you do that? Where does that begin?
So there actually should be a new form. So you shouldn't need anything else other than going to the DMV and being able to fill out the new form and marking X on the form.
Even if your current driver's license is still good, not expired, and just go to the DMV or make the appointment and find out. What about in the foster care system? What might parents need to know?
I think, you know, again, that cultural humility, being open, knowing that if a youth is saying, you know, I might be trans, or I'm having some thoughts, or I am trans, or I'm nonconforming, I'm genderqueer, is what does that mean to you? How can I support you? And then allowing that there is access to those services now.
And then going forward in the new year, what is it that you're paying attention to that I might not have brought up or asked about in this conversation? I guess that's another way of saying, what else in this moment do we need to know?
I think that just, you know, we're all focusing on the positive and the new year and starting new, and that we see a lot of, you know, mental health crises that are happening and homelessness. And I think that those shouldn't go on the undercurrent just with movement forward and all this positive, is that folks are still struggling and that there are organizations trying to help, but there's not enough places or service providers or money going around to be able to continue those efforts.
Hand in hand with that, I will add that the Sacramento Continuum of Care Homeless Youth Task Force has right now the SAC 100-Day Challenge. There is an effort to house more than 200 homeless young people before March 6th. as of right before Christmas, 85 young people had been housed. That means the goal is still bigger than the success at this point. And just in terms of estimates, what do you see as the homeless young people population in the Sacramento area?
I know that we have a large amount of, I know that we see at least 200 youth, you know, within a month, and sometimes ongoing. So I think, over a couple thousand.
Pixie, thank you. It's a good conversation to start the new year. We're going to post a few links. We'll post a link to the Sacramento LGBT Community Center. Also, we have a lot on not only the two new laws that we talked about, but more new laws taking effect in California. You can find those at capradio.org/new laws. And again, Happy New Year. I hope it is in many ways.
Happy New Year to you as well.
That is Pixie Pearl, and this is Insight on Cap Radio.